Welcome again to Finland Mennonite Church. If you've been following along with our current sermon series, you know that we've been taking a look here at the book of Acts, and specifically looking at what the word on the street was about the earliest followers of Jesus. And what we found is that their reputation was that of being imitators of Christ, that they shared a common passion, and that they were on fire for this Jesus who had turned their world upside down. These earliest followers were filling the places they inhabited with declarations and demonstrations of their faith in Jesus. So much so that those around them couldn't help but take notice, whether through confusion, if you remember, say what? Or through curiosity, or even through amazement of what the Spirit was doing in and through them. But we've been doing more than looking back. At least I have. I hope you have as well. Because this testimony of the Spirit's work in each of their lives has served as a challenge to each one of us to look at the ways in our own lives that we consider how we live out following Jesus, where we live, where we work, where we play, and what the collective reputation of Christians today is. Is it the same as it was for them? It's challenging. It's to the places where we live that we're going to turn our attention to today. And I'd like to invite Marv and Rachel to come forward. Today's service is going to look a little bit different than normal. Typically, we read a scripture, we dive into it, and while that needs to remain the central focus of our lives as Christ is scripture, I think also we're called to learn from each other. To learn from each other of the ways that God is using each of us, and to let that be an encouragement in the ways that maybe he wants to use us in the places where we live. So if I could, I'd like to just pray over you, and then we'll move to the couch here. It's going to be kind of informal, like we're just hanging out in the living room. Sound good? Sounds good. Father God, once again, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for a chance to come and hear how you are working through our brother and sister in Christ here, Marv and Rachel. I ask that you calm their hearts, that you give them clear minds, and that you give them confidence to speak boldly the things that you've put on their hearts to bring to us. God, whether we receive some advice on how we could better follow you, whether we just simply receive encouragement or emboldenment to boldly proclaim the places where each of us live. I thank you for their willingness to do this, and I ask that you bless them for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how do you feel?
Good.
You can be honest.
Butterflies?
Marv?
My hands get a little clammy.
Mic up. They can't hear you.
I said my hands get a little clammy sometimes.
Awesome.
That's my issue.
What I would encourage you to do is as you look out, I see primarily smiles. So don't see it as 200-some people who are looking to judge you, but 200-some brothers and sisters who are urging you and encouraging you on. That's what I see. There it is. So before we just dive right in, that'd be pretty impersonal. I'm just curious, how long have you guys been a part of the Finland Faith family?
For me, 74 years.
74 years.
For me, since I married, 55.
Awesome. So I think, because of that, probably a lot of you either know them or have seen them around. But for those of you who don't, who are Marv and Rachel? What makes you tick? What are your passions? What do you love? What did you do for a living? What would you want to tell someone who maybe doesn't know you, who hasn't discussed anything with you, so they know a little bit who they're hearing from?
So Marv already said he's married to me for 55 years. So I'm Rachel, 55 years of great time with Marv. I'm a mom, grandmom, great grandmom, and very blessed.
How about you, Marv?
Okay. I could say the same thing. Grandpa, great grandpa, husband, 55 years. It's been experiencing God's blessing through those 55 years and challenges, of course.
How about any hobbies? What do you love to do?
Okay, so I love gardening, flowers, that is. years past, we had a big vegetable garden, but right now it's basically flowers. And I love doing my flowers, and most of all, in the fall when everything's, or in the winter when everything's dead, and then when spring comes and you see things all popping up all around you and the beautiful colors, it's just amazing to see God's creation. And right in my backyard. I also like crocheting, and I love taking walks. Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of nature there. A lot of seeing God's beautiful creation. Marv?
Mm-hmm. Okay. For a lot of you, you might know I do a little hunting and a little fishing. Not as much as I used to. Still an interest to me, and what I like to do is include others in the activities, and I think if I'm correct, all 13 of my grandchildren have fished with me at some time, and recently, Logan, my great-grandson, has even tested his ability to fish, and that was interesting to watch that response.
Marv, am I correct? Sometimes you put together deep-sea fishing trips? We could co-op this. If anyone would like to sign up for a deep-sea fishing trip, please raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. So there you go, Marv.
Okay. I kind of gave up on the chartering. You put me on the spot now, Brandon. That wasn't my planned conversation.
That's my goal.
I planned a charter one time for the Finland people, and I had to put serious down money on to hold the boat. And 1 week before, I had 15 people, and they wanted 40.
Oh.
And I was starting to panic because I had committed myself. And at the last minute, I don't know what happened. I ended up with 45.
The nets were breaking. Yeah. You threw the other side.
Yeah, so that one worked out, but I did give up on the idea of charter. It's a little too stressful to work all the detail out.
I recall the different things in different seasons that were good there.
So passions you were asking about.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite verse is like to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And
Amen.
That is not just the passion yesterday or tomorrow. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
There's always ways that we can get to know Christ better and to share his love with those where we live. You know, like Chris always says, where we live and work and play. Mm-hmm. And so we first need to know Christ. And like I said, it's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. I like the word passions, and I also included the word desire. I think desire really fits in well with the word passion. And I don't want to take credit for this, but I suggested a song to Jason one time from City of Light. And the title of the song is Yet Not I, But Christ in Me. Mm-hmm. And you guys picked up on that song, and I can't count how many times you've used it since. And it's a powerful message in that song. Just to know that it's Christ in us, that we're, you know, really depending on the power of Christ working in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the one phrase, is it out of that song too? I believe it is. It says, with every breath, I long to follow Jesus. And I think it's in that same song there. And I guess you could call that a passion.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about yourself. I think now we all know you a little better. And you're all going to have to do this back to them out in the community room so they know you as well. But our focus this morning is specifically on following Jesus where we live. And I think some of the struggle with that discussion, I think it is an important discussion, is a lot of the books that I've written are like 15 ways to impact your city for Christ, or 25 ways to prayer walk your block. And for some of us who live in a more suburban or rural area, that can be difficult to translate, right? And so I think you have something special to offer us in this conversation. So what does home look like for you? What does the place you live look like? To give us a picture for those who don't know.
Well, it's the same address for 48 years. it's a place of, for us, it's a place of good memories. Our children growing up there and grandchildren and just enjoying family. It's you always hear the expression "home sweet home." I think for us, it, that kind of describes it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neighborhood you were going to share about.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm accurate when I say this, but it seemed like our home has been a hub in the community. We're surrounded with, I'm going to call 10 probably families that have become really close in our relationship, and we've developed a good relationship. Not all believers in that 10 family circle. We started out with summer picnics, and then eventually we turned into a winter after the holiday kind of celebration when things quiet down. And everybody that has been part of that, I'm going to say majority of them, have just said, let's do it every year. Let's keep doing it. Well, then we skipped 2 years because of COVID, and so we have to decide now whether we pick it up again and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the activity of our community there, we were pretty much the younger family when we moved in, and it was mostly seniors. And then new families moved in, and it became younger families. And
roles reversed.
And now we're back to pretty much a senior community again. So that's a little bit
interesting.
The neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Well, how about this? If I can draw a little more out of you to paint a picture for people. If I was a realtor, and you were looking to sell your house, God forbid, sounds like you want to stay there.
Yeah.
What's the area like? Describe the street. In other words, so people get an image of your home. What are they seeing when the Google Earth, they get on the map and they drive down the street? Is it the woods? Is it a town? I'm assuming some of us have no idea where you're at.
Well, it's 3145 Garyville Pike.
There you go, pull it out.
When we moved there, this Garyville Pike was not what it is today. It's like a highway. Mm. And I don't know. Lots of people tell me as I go by, they see the flowers, see Marv Mowen. And as we're outside, people or waving all the time. Sometimes we know them, sometimes we don't. So I don't know what the realtor one. I wasn't thinking about that.
That's all right. I live on the ridge, so when people blow the horn, I don't even look up anymore. You just wave and they go. Is that a good picture, Marv? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think I experienced the same thing. I'm not too good at identifying cars, so if somebody goes with a tinted window, I don't have a clue who's behind the tinted window, and they're waving, and wave back, and sooner or later you have conversations or something. Oh, I seen you out mowing, or, you know, well, I seen you do something different landscape-wise, or and it opens opportunities at that point to find out who the neighbors are, and when you're at one place for 48 years, you meet them in the grocery store, you meet them, you know, many different places, and they identify you by observing you for that many years.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting angle. In today's world, not a lot of people are as rooted as you are being somewhere for 48 years. How would you say, have you experienced the neighborhood changing at all, shifting over the years? Has it been, you talked a little bit about the ages of your neighbors. Anything else changed in the area or the neighborhood? Any big shifts? Developed more or anything like that, or pretty consistent?
Well, when we moved there was a great big open field right across the street, and now there's houses there, and that's where, you know, the children came in because so there are more houses in our neighborhood now, which also gave us more opportunities to be good neighbors. So oftentimes we would take something over to, if a new family moved in, we would take some cookies or something over to them and make ourselves known, and then also invite them to the Christmas party or the picnic, and so that's how we would get to know them well.
As changes happen.
Yeah, and it also, when you do that, it builds up relationships for when someone has a need. They you know, we can reach out to them, and not just being neighbor to say hi, but a neighbor to be there for each other, and I think that's what we are in our neighborhood.
That's good.
Maybe I should just tie on there. We had many opportunities with those neighborhood gatherings to reach out and pray at times. One year, it was a young fellow of the neighbor had a bad motorcycle accident, and we gathered as the group and said, hey, I think this is an opportunity. We should be praying for this young man. And a couple other opportunities, the seniors were experiencing health issues, and it gave opportunity to pray with those that were not even believers, and amazing responses, you know, that people would say, oh, wow, you know, thanks, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. and they appreciate it.
That's good. Well, you jumped a little bit ahead of me, and that's fine. I'm okay with it. I pushed you. You pushed me.
Yeah,
this will all work out.
Not quite going like the script.
No, that's good.
But well, the problem is, he's giving us a short time to share a little bit of our window of life.
True.
Of 48 years. So
yeah.
You're missing a lot of the stuff, and so we're okay.
That's okay. That's okay. So then, if we're focusing this morning, you see on the screen, following Jesus where you live. The question is, why is that important? I mean, stereotypically, Mennonites have been called the quiet in the land. Can't we just wave at people from the window, put a little Jesus sign in the front yard, and just leave everyone else alone, and they can leave us alone? Why is it important to interact with our neighbors? Or why has it been important to you to prioritize that in your life?
I think that's your question. Your
it's either of your questions.
All right. I think Chris summed it up last week. He started saying how much an aroma of homemade bread was an inviting time to come home. And, you know, scriptures speak of that, the aroma. Now, if you live in the Upper Perk Valley, I'm wondering how many of you get the smell of chocolate. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been 9-10 miles away at times. And depending on the wind, you get the smell of the whole valley of chocolate. Just think about that for a minute. The aroma of chocolate, if you really like chocolate, it's an inviting smell. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture that really speaks to that, and I'll just read it if you care to.
Hey, real quick, Marv, can I hold you? Maybe it'd be good for them to pull out scripture, Bible, and follow along. Something is, if this is going to be something you're going to riff on a little bit. Where are we looking?
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, let's do it.
Turn to that scripture?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15, at least. We'll include 16. 14 to 16 of 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a minute if you choose to follow after.
It's a sword drill. First one with their hand gets a soda or something. I don't know.
Maybe a leftover hamburger from last night.
I got plenty of those.
Okay. So 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16. I'll read it. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance, knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ through those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death and to the other the fragrance of life. So if you want to relate the thought of fragrance and if you like the smell of homemade bread, I smelled that yesterday at my house, and whatever. But the fragrance of Christ, I had a little note I wanted to share about that here, if I get the right paper. I wrote a note this morning, and I'm not seeing my own note.
Okay. Do you remember what it was? It's the Spirit telling you to riff.
Okay, here it is. Even after 55 years, I need her. Okay, back to that idea, to the thought of, to the one, we are the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life. We can repel people by how we live. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not. You know, almost pronouncing a word of condemnation on your actions or whatever. And we can repel people if we're not living, you know, consistently, you know, in Christ. But we can also be the opposite. We can attract. And that's what we want to be as God's people. How we live, work, and play, you know, attracting people to the life that we live in Christ.
Anything you want to add?
So an example of showing Christ's love to others and being that fragrance. Mm-hmm. Because I was a stay-at-home mom most of my life, I did some daycare, child care in my home, and I had these two little brothers who I got them as infants, and when the one little boy was going to be baptized, his mom was Catholic and his dad was Protestant, and we were a Mennonite, and they invited us to the baptism service, and they told us there's going to be a priest and a pastor, and they asked me if I would have a Mennonite prayer.
Okay. Those are they're different than the ones you find in Scripture or other prayers. Yeah, definitely. They have the aroma of shoe fly pie. Yeah.
So we went, and it was a very nice service, and we had a Mennonite prayer. And those little boys I had for 6 years, and not only could I, like, read them Bible stories and share Christ with them, but also I had times of sharing Christ with the parents.
That's great.
So we still mm-hmm. connect with them at times, and one's married, has a baby of his own, but mm-hmm. it was good.
That's cool. So that's one way of being an aroma or being an example of ways you've connected with your neighbors over the years. Any others that are jumping out that you want to share? Or also, we had kind of discussed that it's not all roses, right? Like, sometimes there could be a failed attempt to connect with people. And if you'd be willing to share that and what you learned through it, positive or negative. Because some people are probably sitting out there saying, that sounds great, I'm still not going to do it.
So I do, Joanne, now. I just jotted this down with that failed attempt thing. First I thought, oh, yeah, there's lots of failed attempts. I'm like, you know, it don't always work out the way you want it to or the way you think God should work it out. But I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit and our obedience to God, there's no failed attempts. Mm. Because I believe that God sees the whole picture. And we just see a small portion of it. So God doesn't ask us to be successful, but he does ask us to be faithful. And this quote I just love, it says, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you sow." Mm-hmm. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, meaning the success, but by the seeds that you sow.
If you're looking to take notes, you can write that one down.
And if there's time,
yeah, sure.
I will just share one story of what I felt was a failed attempt. So I had a friend who lived right up the street. She came to the home Bible study I had at my house and then came to church here. And she had some issues, but she was really excited about her Christian faith. And what happened was that after a time, she walked away from her faith, and she walked away from me. And I thought, well, that's definitely a failed attempt. And I lost track of her for many years. And one day I was shopping at the Goodwill store, and I heard my name, and it was my friend. And we embraced in tears, and things were just like they had been. And I invited her over for tea, and she came, and she told me about her renewing her life to God, and she talked about the serious illness that she had. So I happened to have a prayer shawl, and I wrapped her in the prayer shawl, and we prayed, and we were going to get together again in a couple weeks, but she passed away in the meantime. But that was just such, to me, a divine encounter that God would allow us to renew our friendship and before she passed away. Yeah. So a failed attempt felt like it, but really was not.
Yeah, that's a powerful testimony to what you were saying earlier. I mean, if you were not okay with the possibility of failure, and in your mind you thought it was a failure, you would have never made that first connection that led ultimately to that. So, yeah. Any others?
All right. Yeah, we had a variety of neighbors moved in and moved out, and some were short stays, and this the one next door neighbor, I don't know, I'm throwing things in a mix here.
Go for it.
He came to us one day, and he pulled in the driveway, and we had invited them into the community by giving them some homemade baked goods or something, and he pulled in and he said, "My observation of your property, you're either Mennonite or Amish by the size of your swing set." We do have a large swing, and it's been there for 40 years, and I never really considered that identity of a swing set. But to him, he didn't see a swing set that big, and that was his way of identifying us. And we developed a really good relationship over the years. He'd come and borrow our tools, and I would go down and help him with little projects and this and that. And he was failing in health, really, and he lost his job and just continued to fail in health. And I stayed in touch with him, and his wife was in the hospital one day, and he said, "Would you pray for my wife?" And I said, "Sure." And on a glance of a thought, he says, "And pray for me too." Well, it gave me opportunity right there in the parking lot of his place just to pray. And the door was open, and I love those open doors. And toward the end of his journey, he just kind of isolated himself. He wouldn't answer the doorbell. He wouldn't answer the phone. And he passed away without really connecting in the last couple months of his life. And to me, it felt a little bit like a failure.
But to end that story, we also were, his wife had a small service in her backyard. This was in COVID. And she invited us to the service, and we got opportunity to share there. So who knows what God does with those things.
Yeah. It's good to stay faithful to that call, regardless of the outcome.
My conclusion was, and this would be an advice, continue to pursue. When you think, you know, it's just not working, continue pursuing. And it's not always comfortable, but.
Yeah, that's a good lead-in. It's not always been comfortable. Here's a question that could be difficult. Maybe it's the elephant in the room. If you're going to reach out to your neighbors, what about those neighbors who you disagree with their lifestyle, you disagree with choices that they make, maybe you disagree politically? How do you hold grace and truth and tension as you interact with them, and how do you still befriend them? Is that even something you seek to do?
So grace and truth, when I think about that, I think about, you know, those old time scales where they're like this and you have to balance them out. So like when our children were little, I listened to Focus on the Family program, and he often would say love and discipline, you know, you need both, and you need to keep them in balance. So I think it's kind of the same with grace and truth. And when I think of grace, it's I think of Jesus with his love, compassion, mercy, relating to all kinds of people. And so we need to speak the truth. Truth is Jesus, so we need to speak Jesus with love.
Like those, that goes back to the first sermon in our series about twinning with Jesus. If we're going to imitate Christ, and that's how he dealt with people who, maybe he, obviously, they were not living the way of Christ, so they weren't following God, and yet he still reached out and interacted with them. That is a real tangible way of imitating him.
And I think Marv has an example of that.
Yeah. This one neighbor has been there just maybe 10 years less than us in our community, and we developed good relationships over the years. She's Jewish background, and he is, I'm not sure what.
He's not either.
Anyway, she's not practicing in her Jewish faith, but she does refer to it. And over the years, we've had different conversations, and one day at the back door, we were just conversing a little bit, and she goes, "Well, what do you think of the virgin birth?" And I go, "Okay, here's a Jewish lady asking me what do I think of the virgin birth." Well, again, the door was open, and I love those opportunities, and we had great conversation. She didn't agree, and then last week, there was a little exchange of garden plants, and we got a bag full of fresh dill, and I go, "What are you going to do with fresh dill?" And I told her, "Throw it in the chicken," and it came up a great-tasting chicken. And I told him, well, then he came over with a plant of dill and said, now you have your own. And she gave some rolls that just come out of the oven in exchange for that. He went home with the rolls, and she come back and said, "I want that recipe." Well, it wasn't only the recipe that she came for, but it came for good conversation.
Very awesome.
We got a little bit onto political things, and we got on the issue of abortion. And she said, "If my granddaughter got pregnant, I would have her have an abortion in a flash." And I go, "Wow." I said, "We consider life sacred." And I said, "That's not part of our thinking even." And the conversation went on. And she said, "And Jewish, they don't like us because we're Jewish." I said, "Linda, we love you. I don't care if you're Jewish or not." And
Who knows where that'll lead?
Yeah, who knows where all that would lead to. And I have to say this. I think there was a time for celebration with faith, families, and God's people this week when we've seen a major overturn in Supreme Court. I don't know how everybody feels about that, but that is a major celebration in my life to see that people have a chance of preserving life. And that opportunity of sharing with her about that and the sacredness of life, it was just a great opportunity.
Yeah, and a great opportunity, go back to the question, to dialogue with someone who has a different opinion, to put out there, you know, what the Christian perspective would be, and to plant those seeds and have something in her mind and heart. You know, who knows? Maybe over time she'll come to see, you know, what you're trying to present to her as truth. So that's beautiful. The next question I would go to is, what does it look like to stay in step with the Spirit as you're interacting with those around you? And have you ever felt uncomfortable with something you sensed God was prompting you to do as you interacted with your neighbors?
So with keeping in step with the Spirit, I think, as we all know, to be able to do that, we need God's word. We need to be intentional in reading God's word and in prayer and in sharing Christ with others. But I think the word intentional is really important because life is busy and it takes discipline to get into God's word and not just read it, but to meditate on it and to live it. So that's the way we stay in tune with the Spirit. And what was the other thing, being uncomfortable?
Yeah, just if you ever felt like God was prompting you to do something, and you're like, "I really don't want to do this."
Okay, I'll share an example with that. There was two neighbors that were across the street, and some trees became an issue for the one neighbor, and he wanted to take them down, and they weren't quite sure whose property line they were on. So I had a knock on the door, and he said, "We're having this big disagreement about these trees. I want them down, and we're not sure whose they are. Would you come over and mediate?" Okay.
Get out the gavel.
Speaking of uncomfortable, I'd say that was probably one of my uncomfortable moments. And my
full honesty, who would say no? Don't raise your hand.
My approach was, I said, I'm coming into this situation. I'm not on either of your sides. I'm going to present what I feel is proper, what is best. Tell me which trees you think are a problem. tell me what you think is acceptable. We came to an agreement, okay? I took a yellow ribbon. I put five yellow ribbons around the five trees that we agreed on. Agree?
Agree.
Settled. And within the next couple of days, the trees went down. Well, then the one neighbor came over and he said, I need you back. He said, there's not five trees laying on the ground. There's more than that. So I went over, and sure enough, there was about eight trees laying on the ground, and there was eight ribbons. We only presented five ribbons on the original plan. And I wasn't sure how to approach it, and I said, you know what? You had an opportunity to redeem this relationship in your community, in your neighborhood, by asking me to come in and present what I thought was right. I said, and what I see here is a very deceptive approach. It broke our relationship for 2 years. He wouldn't even speak to me. And that was very uncomfortable. And it's an ongoing, maybe, struggle, you know, relating sometimes. Mm-hmm. But that was how I assumed to handle that. Yeah. You know.
That's not always easy the way it sounds. Yeah. Well, as Chris has been moving us in a direction where he calls it dialogical preaching, where you're invited to engage with what you're seeing. And believe it or not, Marv and Rachel were open enough, brave enough perhaps, to allow me to do the same in this format. So maybe you've been sitting there thinking you had some questions that weren't presented, or you were thinking how, some advice maybe you'd look for, and you can go talk to them afterwards. But if anybody had any questions now they wanted to present to Marv and Rachel, they are open to fielding them the best they can, which I think is very brave. So anybody, something you've been stewing on, a question you have for them, some advice you're looking for, don't get too specific. We don't have another 20 minutes, but wanted to provide that space. Anybody? It's like asking the youth group to pray sometimes. Pastor Chris is allowed to ask a question. You're on the other side here today, Chris. Watermelons.
Who's been telling you stories?
I can give you watermelon and cantaloupe stories, but I'm not sure about breaking down barriers. Okay. All right. Well, back in the day, we had a new septic system put in, and it just confiscated our whole garden. So there's no more garden there like it was. But in the past, I can only say God's blessing on the garden, it produced like you just can't even comprehend. Since you've mentioned watermelons, I have a picture of one. And in the past, Levi and Becky Kolb were part of the congregation. And Levi and Becky were there for the evening. And I actually had a watermelon that was as big as the ice chest that was setting on. And it's a beautiful picture of him and Levi. I mean, Levi and the watermelon. I don't know what you're thinking of, but we carried watermelons through the neighborhood and cantaloupes. We were ready to go on vacation, and the cantaloupes came into full harvest time. We had a little express wagon around it. We just pulled it through the neighborhood and said, cantaloupes, cantaloupes, cantaloupes. I don't know. Is that what you're thinking? It's another opportunity to relate to your community. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of interchanging of things like that.
Maybe you're not a cantaloupe farmer. Maybe you're a baker. Maybe you can help a widow who needs help with the yard. It looks different for every person, but that's one example of how you can pass on a gift or a talent that you have to your community. So that's good.
Actually, in some of my successful years of hunting, some of the specialty items I would have made, I would share with some of the neighbors that I knew would enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Another open door.
Yeah. I'm sure that they're just being shy, and they're all going to come ask you questions later, but we'll keep it general then. What advice would you give someone who's looking to follow Jesus where they live? Like, just general advice. We've gone over some stories, and they're very specific. Some of you will probably take those and apply them into your life. But, yeah, just keep it vague advice for people who want to start living that way?
Well, I just wanted to share a plaque that we have in our dining room that reads like this: live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. And also with this advice thing, I went back to Chris's first sermon on the word on the street, where he gave 5 points of incarnation to transformation. And so they're up on the screen if you recall that that sermon. So just briefly, a little bit of review about that. So incarnation means being present. And we felt years ago that we wanted to be close to our church, and so we moved up in this area. That was one reason. So be present, be there, be available for people. The reputation is, I think Marv already said how people view you, like with the swing set. And
we're going to add that to the membership class, actually. You have to have a large swing set.
Yeah. And also with reputation, you had that other example.
Yeah. The one on incarnation, being present. I'm just going to elaborate a little bit there. People identify sometimes just by your presence, you know, and I'm not sure, observation, you know, if they're neighbors, they have more time to observe it. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we had a short vacation in Delaware, and we stopped for breakfast, and our daughter and family met up with us at a certain restaurant, and we haven't even had our meal served to us yet, and a man come in kind of in a frenzy, and he sat down at a table next to us, and he was on his phone, and he got off his phone, he got on it again, and he was obviously, you know, distressed about something. And he finally looked up at us, and he said, what church you go to? Okay. I said, well, we're not from Delaware. We're from Pennsylvania, so you probably wouldn't know Finland Mennonite Church. He said, well, I have a request. Will you pray for us? He said, my friend had a pit bull, and the pit bull killed his daughter last night. And he said, I'm going over there because he attempted, or he was thinking about taking his life. It was such a dramatic moment. But he said, I just want somebody to pray. We were total strangers. reputation, what did he see that he identified us as possibly church-going people or Christian people? There was something there that he just reached out to us and asked us, you know, to pray for the situation.
It's powerful.
And then the next one's conversation. And I do a lot of walking, so prayer walking. And we always get to meet someone while you're walking around the neighborhood. Confrontation, I think in Chris's message, it was confrontation is the work of the Holy Spirit. And not our work. We need a lot of guidance and grace, and God does the work. And then the last one, transformation, and that's also God's work in changing people. We never change people. We just, like we said before, we plant the seeds, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the changing part, the transformation part, it's God's work.
Well, I've been enjoying the conversation so much, I haven't watched the time. I think we're all right, but do you have any closing thoughts? Like, what would you want people to leave here today with, where you would say, if they left and they haven't gathered this, you would be extremely disappointed?
Let me just make one comment on the idea of conversation. I don't want to sound like I'm blowing my horn, but I tend to be a people person. My 40-some years at plumbing, I've related to people one-on-one because of my bathroom work, and there's a lot of discussion when you do bathroom work. And
I'll take your word for it.
And I developed some just great relationships with people, and I've forgotten. And 10, 20 years down the road, I'll meet them somewhere, and oh, you did my bathroom, you know, and so forth. And ongoing conversations, neighbors, you know. There's this one fellow in our community who stops at the shop and picks up boxes. And we'll sit and talk a half an hour about anything and spiritual things. And he said, I believe, but it's at this point, I'm going to call it head knowledge. It hasn't gotten to the heart, and we're working at that. Mm-hmm. So that's one opportunity. And your next part of the question was...
So would you say... Would you say, remember that everyone's on a journey, including ourselves, right?
In closing, you said what remarks.
Yeah.
I'm going to just share a little bit of a passage out of Matthew 28, and this is right after the death and burial of Jesus, and then it's the resurrection, and if you remember how the story went, there was a major earthquake, and the stone was rolled back, and an angel was there, and so forth. And I'm going to say, Matthew 28, starting at verse 5, it says, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell. And I'm going to pick up on a couple words. Come and see. He was inviting them. This Jesus who they thought was, you know, their continuing leader, here he was crucified, and they were pursuing, you know, the body of Jesus in the tomb. And then the angel gives that message, come and see, and then go and tell. And to me, it's an urgency in that statement, go and tell. And if you look at the following one there, it says, and they ran to tell the disciples. There was urgency in that message. And then to go to the end of 28, I think, the Great Commission. This is Jesus' words. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And there's a sense of urgency in that message. And that is not a Great Commission for the disciples. That's the Great Commission for you and I. We're in... Titled, not entitled, that's not a good word.
Commissioned?
We're commissioned to go and tell the message. And do we do it with urgency? I'm not sure that I do. I pray for boldness, and I don't know that I've come to the place of urgency, but there's a bit of urgency in telling the message.
That's good.
So I think the close, like we were talking about neighbors, so the greatest commandment is to love God and your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself. So we had the Great Commission and the greatest commandment. And I'm sure some of you heard the song that's out. It's called The Commission. And just a couple phrases. See my hands. It's when Jesus was talking to his disciples before he was leaving this earth. He said, see my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith you will do greater things. I've got to go for a little while, but goodbye is not the end of the journey. There's much to do here before you leave, and my spirit will go with you. You have a purpose, and I have a plan. I promise I'll come back. Go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go for a little while. Go tell the world about me.
That's great. Thank you. Well, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this as much as I have. You kind of got the chance to sit in a living room with, I don't know, 200-some people, which is, that's rare. I haven't done that, at least not in my house. You wouldn't all fit. When we approached Marv and Rachel about doing this, one of the things that Marv said to me a couple times, he used that toot my own horn phrase. Like, he didn't want to come up here and be elevated as and I appreciate that, the humility. But I read somewhere that when we are thankful for what someone has given us and for the gifts, the talents, the stories that they have provided. And we then take that praise and we put it on to the Heavenly Father who has made you who you are and who's gifted you to do this work. Ultimately, we're giving praise to God. So I close, if you could, just give them a round of applause for being willing to do this, and ultimately to God for the work he's doing in their lives. So, thank you. Marv said he's got one more closing remark, and I'm not going to shut him down. So,
what we shared is the examples. Please don't feel compelled to take guilt on. Everybody's experience is different. This is what we shared, what our life experiences were. Your life experiences are different, and that's okay.
Excellent. Thank you again.